International transformation and success coach Myrna Morris Young delivers life-changing strategies as the host of the Mindset Transformations radio show and podcast. Myrna shares these strategies from success achieved in her own personal journey and by interviewing other best-selling authors and coaches. Each show gives you practical tips on living your best life now by changing your mindset to change your life. I am grateful that you have tuned in today from all over the world. I believe that the Spirit of God led you here so that you can receive insight, revelation, and knowledge to see the next step in front of you as God reveals His purpose and destiny in your life. And now, here's Coach Myrna.
Welcome to the Mindset Transformation Radio Show and Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Myrna Young, and today I have a treat for you. I am going to be talking today to intimacy coach Margot Blake. She has been a longtime friend of mine. We started off as realtors in 2000. I became a life coach, and she transitioned into being an intimacy coach. But one of the things I've always admired about Margot is that she's always embraced her sexuality. When you see her, that's what you see. You see a big personality, and you see someone that does not hide from her sexuality. And one of the reasons that I thought that this would be a great fit for my show at this particular point is because my goal for 2018 on the Mindset Transformation Radio Show and Podcast is to be a millennial coach. Because millennials, as they're starting out, they need a lot of advice on a lot of areas in life. They need advice on careers. They need advice in setting goals. They need advice in, real estate, how to invest in real estate. They need advice in relationships. And they can use some advice in how to embrace their goddess. So we're talking specifically to women, and that's where Margot comes in. Like I said, from the time that I've known her, she has embraced it. So Margot, I want to welcome you to the show. Thank you for agreeing to share your knowledge. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Ms. Myrna. I'm so honored and privileged to be here on your show. And I am so excited to be here and be a part of your vision. And I definitely agree that young people need to have a blueprint of where they need to be at if they want to succeed in this world.
Perfect. All right. So you see, we're off to a fabulous start. So tell me. You know, you have a very interesting backstory, and one of the reasons I did not read a bio like I normally do on my shows is because Margot tells it so succinctly and obviously much better. So, Margot, as we start off, tell my audience a little of your backstory and then transition to how you became an intimacy coach and even why you chose that profession.
Well, I'm going to try to do this very quickly because I am 54 years old and fabulous, so I'm going to try to speed it up because Myrna has me on a time frame. But I think that for me, I was a teenage mom at 16 years old. I had some idea of what college was. Wasn't that successful in college because I partied a lot. It was during the 80s. Then I realized that I wanted something more. So I left New York. I came to Florida, and that was the age of the 80s. It was wild. It was untamed. And I started to embrace my sexuality. I became a realtor. I got married, got divorced, got married, got divorced. And when I turned 48, that was a turning point. And I had said to myself, how do I want to spend the rest of my life? Do I want to be in a relationship? Because my whole history of my relationships, men always left me. They always left me. But I said, you know, I'm going to transition out my relationship, which was going on 10 years, and I wanted to be me. And that's how I became an intimate coach. I did transformational workshop, which was called Seven Education, and I started to mentor people for the last 10 years. The last 3 years, I've been on the journey. I'm in the process of becoming an intimate orgasmic life coach with One Taste. So I've been on this journey for the last close to 20 years of my life. The question you asked me, what advice would I give young women? Is that what you asked me, Myrna?
Yeah. Well, we're not there yet, but I wanted to know how you did a good job. I wanted to know your backstory and why you transitioned into an intimacy coach. And you answered that very well. So what you're saying, from what I understand, is, you know, expanding on what you said is that, you know, as a young woman, you embraced your sexuality and you allowed men to, you know, have their way with you, kind of thing.
I wouldn't say that. I would say that right. when you start becoming sexual at 15, and so right. I'm 15 years old in the 70s, and right. So I was not able to date guys my age, so I had to date older men because right. older men didn't see me as damaged. And oh. from that, I developed a philosophy that older men like me. So older okay. men did what I told them to do. And okay. so that's a whole different conversation. But from that, okay. I developed this sexual confidence about how I was going to be treated. But when I was married, I wasn't getting that intimacy that I wanted.
Okay.
And then when I did my transformational workshops, I realized that there's a lot of women like me that they're not being heard. They're not being edified.
Okay.
And that's why I became a coach.
Okay, all right. Awesome, all right. So, you know, I was trying to fill in the gaps here and did it wrong. But, yes, so, you know, again, you got sexual confidence because of the age difference between you and the men, and that when you turned 48, you wanted to be you. You didn't necessarily get your sexual confidence anymore from the men. You turned inside and got it from yourself. You had, when we were doing our pre-interview, you mentioned a word, embracing your goddess. Would that basically what you mean by that?
Your goddess is that desire. That
okay.
desire is that voice. Is that voice? All of us have that. We have that voice within inside of us.
Okay.
And that it's like it drives you. That voice may say, "Hey, listen, I don't like this job anymore. Quit." You may not want to like have a dialogue with that voice, but that's your goddess. That's your desire, because all of us, all women, are powerful. And the only thing that gets in our way that we can't have what we want is circumstances. It's our past behaviors. So when I got connected to my goddess, she's always been there. I just started listening to her at 48.
Okay. Perfect. All right. So, again, we're expanding on that. So, yeah, you started listening to her at 48, probably because you're approaching that big number of 50, correct?
It's only a number. It's only a number. But I don't look 50.
You're right.
Yes.
Exactly. You're right. Okay. All right. So what we're doing is we're giving some, you know, we're giving some expansiveness to Margot, her background, how she became an intimacy coach. You also said that you're working on becoming a certified orgasmic life coach because, yeah, that is great. Once women embrace the goddess in them, and, you know, are in tune with their desires, then, of course, they're going to become more orgasmic. They're not waiting for approval from the men. They are, you know, they're becoming orgasmic. Awesome. All right. So as we look at your story, Margot, and we look at the time frame between 16 and 48, right? And one of the reasons that I invited you on the show is because, you know, we want to talk to that same age group. You know, the woman that is just starting to become sexual active, or someone in their early 30s and, you know, have had a relationship with men, but it has never been fulfilling. So what advice would you give to a young woman, you know, based on your experiences, either as a young woman or your experiences as a coach right now? So how do they embrace their goddess and become confident about their sexuality?
Well, let me put it this way. I don't like to give advice, because advice meaning that I'm telling you what to do versus you are in discovery. If I had to give myself, my 16-year-old self, advice about my sexuality, the first thing I would have said was, why am I with this particular guy? You know, and no means no. I would have used my voice. A lot of women don't realize how powerful no means. No means no. I don't want you touching me. I don't want you talking to me. And I couldn't communicate that. So I would definitely tell women at a very early age, no means no. And then from there, you'll develop that sexual confidence that you want. And as you develop, you'll start telling him what you do want. By doing that, we create a whole world of men of servitude. And I don't mean like, you know, like in how slaves were. I mean, men are here to be in servitude. The more we give of ourselves, the more they're willing to serve us, i.e., Obama and Michelle. That's the perfect couple I can tell you about servitude.
Okay.
That he loves his wife so much, he's in servitude to her. Behind every great man, there is that woman.
Mm-hmm.
So, once again, the advice I would give young women and older women, learning to communicate what your desires are. No means no, or yes, I want it this way. No, I don't want it that way. And you develop a pattern.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful on so many levels, because what has been happening, or the shift that's been happening in the younger generation, is that the women feel that they have to chase the boys. I mean, I'm not even going to women. I'm talking to the younger women, the younger kids in school, that they feel that they have to chase the boys, that they don't have, you know, the men are in control. So if what we're saying is we take a step back, and this is something that I have learned over the years, is that if you become the person that you should be and have confidence, then you're right. The men will bend over backwards to be in service to you. Right, because you're, you know, the word queen. You know, when a man feels that you're his queen, like Obama and Michelle, that's basically what they want to do for you. But if you don't become a queen, then you become a doormat, and they just use you up and walk all over you. So it's very true that you start off by having that confidence that says, this is how you're going to treat me, and if you don't want to treat me that way, then, you know, take the stepping. So that's perfect. And when they realize that, yeah, I mean, it only takes a little bit of time to say, you know, I'm beautiful, I'm a queen, I you know, I'm only going to be dealing with men who's going to treat me a certain way. And when they get it, then you're right. They set the tone for the rest of their lives. So, you know, pretty good in that. All right. Now that we're talking about servitude and having a man serve you, let's touch on the dark side for a minute, okay? Because one of the reasons that I chose this particular time to have a conversation with you, even though you've been a coach for a while and I've had this show for a while, is because, you know, most of the young women are going to be going out and watching the movie 50 Shades of Grey.
Great movie. Love it. Read the book. I love it.
Well, I was just about to say that. I have read all three of the books brought to me by my daughter, who is a millennial, and I think maybe she was in her early 20s at the time. I don't remember how long this this book was out, but brought to me to read by my daughter.
Great.
And I actually love the books. I couldn't put them down. She brought all three of them at the same time. So I loved the I am a person that responds to love. And I respond to love where I cry whenever there's love, you know. And the movie to me is all about love and service and sex and that kind of thing. But I remember last year when, I took my mom to see the movie, I think, and I posted something on Facebook, and a woman responded to me, and she said, "How can you glorify that movie? It abuses women." So one of the things I wanted to talk to you about the movie and about Anastasia. You know, Anastasia was a young woman that was very inexperienced in sex, and she met, you know, Christian Grey, who was extremely wealthy. So Christian Grey served her, you know, he served her emotional needs, he served her needs to be wooed and courted, and he also introduced her to some of her sexual desires and needs in a different way. So tell me, why you love that movie and how it relates to what you do.
The reason why I embrace the movie is that it's out of, you get to escape. So the movie is based on escaping. You know, some people just want to escape having a vanilla lifestyle. So in the movie, it's a different type of lifestyle that they both agree. You know, it's mutual. You know, that's why there was a contract. And it's all about giving up, surrendering. And that's what Anastasia did. She surrendered power because she trusted him. And as a reward, like what you said before, Myrna, he showed her a world that she was never exposed to. In terms of abuse, you know, that reader, I mean, that person that posted on your Facebook, she was abused, and she saw the movie to be in that way. She didn't see it in the eyes of what you and I saw, because there was no abuse. It was consensual, and if you explored even more at the first movie where they broke up. I don't want to spoil it for people that didn't see the movie. But anyhow, she came back because there was an awakening. Mm-hmm. Something he did to her that she left, and she came back. Mm-hmm. So how could that be abuse?
Yeah. Well, you know, if we were
she
to
had
tell
an awakening.
It, if we were to tell it for, you know, in a real way. Christian Grey got off on abusing women. He beat them, and even though it was consensual, he got his
with
jobs
her
off
permission,
of her and she got awakened. In you know, which is why people do
I wouldn't
they
say
do it for
she
pleasure.
Got awakened. I think okay. That in this case right here, sometimes you try different foods. And you're like, oh, I don't like it. And then you go back and you try that food and you like it.
Yeah, true.
Different from that case. Perspective.
Right. Awakening taste.
So she's
right.
been eating, yeah, from that right. perspective.
Right. Well, that's perfect, actually, a perfect analogy. The thing about it, though, is that I love the word awakening. because the reason that it was such a powerful story that he awakened every part of her. He, you know, it's like eating a mango and enjoying everything about the mango. You're enjoying the juice that's dripping down your mouth. You're enjoying how you bite into the mango. You enjoy how it tastes as it goes down into your throat. You're enjoying every part of it. And basically what he did is he awakened all of it. In fact, you know, when we go, I think it was the second movie, because I haven't seen the third one yet, of course. But in the second movie, when he no longer wanted to do those things to her, she wanted him to do it to her because it felt good, right? So,
and, all right. You know, we could have another podcast about that. Like, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
Well, tell me what you think about what I just said now. I mean, this is the podcast that we're on. Why did she, do you think that, you know, when he stopped, she wanted it because of her awakening?
You can ask all the women in the world, why are they bored with their lives? Why are they bored with their husbands, with their wives, with their jobs? There's a boredom.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's why this movie was so popular, because it woke up women. It woke up women that, you know what, I want some of that.
Yeah.
Anastasia, she came back, right? Because there was something about her that she didn't know, and she trusted him enough, right? And she was already confident. She was already confident. But there was something about him that she wanted to know more about her.
Yep. So that is very true, and I love the part about boredom. Yeah, I mean, you know, we can... You know, I'm having this taboo talks right now that, you know, that one of the reasons that people are, you know, have infidelity in relationships is because they're bored with their partners. Their partners are not giving them that excitement. They do the same thing every time, the same way, whatever. In fact, I was listening to a podcast the other day, and the lady was saying that she's a sex expert, of course, and she was saying that, you know, if you want to spice up your relationship, right, do things that you haven't done before. If you make love with your clothes on in the bed, then you make love with your clothes off with the lights. You just, if you always make love in the bed, then go in other parts of the house or, you know, whatever, because you got to get rid of that boredom and do something different. And, you know, that spices up your relationship. So, yes. And then, of course, we have the richness, you know. It's fantasy. That's what it's all about. It didn't only wake up the fantasy for the women for, you know, loving, but it made it up for, you know, having a man service you, like you said, and love you for you. And it was all beautiful. Okay. All right. So that was a great opening and great introduction. Let's take a quick station break, and we will be right back with the second half of our show. And we're going to get into what is intimacy. Stay tuned. I'll be right back.
Have dinner with me. Okay, fine. I will have dinner with you because I'm hungry.
Can I be quicker than that, Cray? Are you happy? I've never been happier.
He's changing.
You know that girl, Kristen?
Welcome back to the Mindset Transformation Radio Show and Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Myrna Young, and today we are having a very interesting conversation with my friend, Ms. Margot Blake, who is an intimacy coach and working on becoming certified as an orgasmic coach. Now, that's a great word, because everybody needs to experience orgasms at some point in time. Now, as we get into the second segment of our show, I want to talk to Margot about intimacy, because it's a word that maybe your young listeners, has an ambiguous meaning. So, Margot, what would you call intimacy?
Intimacy is that raw, vulnerable part that you allow your partner, your friends, your family to see. It's the part of you that does not lie. It's the part of you that your friends, your family, your lover can look you in the eye and they can connect with you. So hypothetically, if you are feeling sad, right? You're feeling sad. And you can look at your daughter, and your daughter can look at you and connect with you because that's what you're honestly feeling. Some of us wear a mask. We wear a mask our whole life, and we don't allow people to see that vulnerable part of us. Hypothetically, I have a girlfriend that's extremely horny all the time, right? And I could sit right next to her, and she has this sexuality. It just oozes out of her. So intimacy is able to communicate what you're feeling and not masking it. So hypothetically, if you're a homosexual and you're masking it, you're not being vulnerable because you have to mask it. Let me give an example. Women, you are wanting to say something to your husband and you don't quite communicate it, right? And you're trying the best, you're trying to say it with words. Sometimes it's a way of being. It's connecting to that part of your body that feels it. Like if you're in pain, and sometimes it may look like you're being crying. Crying does not mean weak. Crying means that you're at your emotional and your body is having tears come out your eyes. Or if you're so passionate and you're letting the passion come out and you're like, and he can't say anything because you're like, he's like, okay, babe, I got it. Because you're being that way. Mm-hmm. So that's intimacy. Intimacy is allowing that person to really see you without lying and without the drama.
All right. Well, most of the people that are listening, including me, think intimacy is sex. Speak to that.
Could be. But you can have sex without intimacy. Believe me, I have.
I know that. But you talk about intimacy as communication. Break it down to the sexual word. Break it down to two people being in the bedroom. How does intimacy come into play there?
Intimacy is being able, you have the ability to tell your partner exactly how you want it, when you want it, and how long you want it for. That's intimacy.
What happens if you don't talk?
Well, if you don't talk, then there's meeting of the mind that he can actually read you. He can communicate through body.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
Once again, I have a friend that way too.
Okay. Well, that's what my interpretation is that a meeting of, like, the souls where you're communicating, but you're communicating on a deeper level, right? You don't need to tell. You don't need to be like an army instructor. You just communicate, and there's no words. It's just your bodies, and it's just your mind. That's what
I feel
intimacy is. Mm-hmm.
But that person, if that person is not intimate to begin with, if that person doesn't know themselves, right? You've met people that are not vulnerable. You met people that are very hardcore in their lives. They are not intimate in bed.
No. They probably have sex like the porn stars.
Right, because they're not intimate. Intimacy starts with the individual.
Yes,
intimacy starts with you.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to throw something at you here, and I didn't prepare you for this, but I listened to the Tim Ferriss podcast, and I was surprised that he had a podcast on a sex worker. So I listened to it because I wanted to prepare myself for this interview. And he interviewed a lady called Alice Little. And Alice Little is the number one top earning legal sex worker in the U.S., making hundreds of, I think, you know, eight-figure income. And she works in the Nevada world-famous Moonlight Bunny Ranch. And in all of the conversation that she had, she kept using this word intimacy, intimacy, intimacy. And, you know, she talks about, you know, she works with individuals, she works with couples, wanted a threesome, she works with whatever. And, you know, I was very surprised that she kept talking about intimacy. She just kept talking about, you know, breaking the boundaries of touch and being intimate. So without knowing, you know, or listening to this, what would be your, you know, how can a, my question is, how can a sex worker be intimate? Let's say that, you know, again, we're going to keep it to a young woman or a young man wanted to go to the bunny ranch because they wanted to be schooled in some form of sex, and they meet Miss Alice Little. What can she teach them about intimacy?
Okay. First of all, she's very passionate, so she loves what she does. That's the number one. That makes her intimate.
Right.
It's just like a cook or a chef. So that's why she gets paid what she gets paid. Mm-hmm. Some of these escorts, they do it because of the money. In her case, she doesn't do it for the money. She does it because she wants, she does it because she wants to teach. The same way why you coach people. You want people to have a breakthrough in their lives.
Okay. Very true. Impressive. Have you heard of her before? This is the first time you've heard about her.
She comes a dime a dozen.
Okay.
Because there's something, now keep in mind, she, you know, if they legalize it, people would be making millions of dollars. Remember, there was an escort that was with the governor in New York, and people were like, oh, my God. He spent over $80,000 on her. So in that world, they have undocumented income because how do they report it? So in her case, she's documented.
Okay. So, all right, so your answer to question is she's passionate, that's why she teaches, and that's how she's able to build that intimacy. True.
And she loves having sex.
She didn't say that, but I guess.
Well, if she's intimate, if she's intimate, she loves having sex. She loves it.
Okay.
She loves it, and she wants to pay it forward.
Okay. All right. Awesome. Okay. All right, moving all around. Okay. So I think I asked this question already, but maybe you want to expand on it. Let's say we're talking about a married couple, because we want to keep this show clean. Let's say we're talking about a married couple that have just been married, and they're very inexperienced with sex. They haven't had too many partners before. So how could they bring intimacy in the bedroom other than telling the guy, this is how I like it? Let's assume she doesn't even know how she likes it because nobody has made her become comfortable with her body. How would they go about doing it?
Well, she needs to hire either me or you for coaching. That's number one.
Right.
Because if you want to learn or master anything, you go to school for it or you get coaching, correct?
True,
okay.
True.
So I
or
think,
you read a book,
I think that,
right. Mm-hmm.
Yes, you could read a book. You can do that too. But if you really want to perfect your craft, you get a trainer. You want to lose weight, what do? You hire a
fitness coach.
Trainer.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. If you want to succeed, You want to buy a house, who do you hire?
A realtor.
A realtor. Exactly. Exactly.
Right. Okay.
So, right. They can get a book and they can watch a lot of how-to videos. But the importance of a coach is to really be neutral and listen what's working and what's not working.
Okay.
And give them feedback.
Okay.
That is what I would say. If
okay.
I had to give someone a wedding present, I would give them six classes with Myrna or six classes with Margo. That's what I would do.
Yeah, all right. So do you have this class?
Of course I do. I have a class. I have a class for couples. It's an intimate class, and it's really interesting. I don't want to give it away. But
we have some time.
Well,
what do you teach them?
Well, this particular class, it's about orgasmic meditation, and it talks about communication.
Okay.
Talks about their desires. Talks about his desires. Talks about her desires. And then we put together some type of mechanism for it to work.
Okay.
And then we come back, and we analyze what worked, what didn't work. And
okay.
It's important that women and men know that we communicate differently, because he's on Mars, we're on Venus.
Venus, right.
Women,
I was going to say that as soon as you
yeah,
said that, right.
Mm-hmm. Women,
okay.
Women, we're emotional creatures. We're emotional. Men are black and white. So
yeah.
When we say, wah! He's like, okay, can you turn that down? He's not gonna. But it's important that we understand what frequencies we communicate, and once we get to do that, anything is possible in this lifetime.
You know, as you were talking, I remembered something that Miss Little said on the podcast. She says, almost similar to exactly what you said, she says that women like to be stroked in rhythm, right? You know, one, two, one, two, one, two, one, two, one, two, rhythm. And men like to be stroked in variety. So they, you know, they want things that are, you know, variety that are not in rhythm. And the man would stroke the woman the way he likes to be stroked, and she would probably stroke the man the way, and that's basically how it works, which is why that book, Men Are for Mars and Women Are for Venus, because we think differently, we want different things, and a lot of times nobody ever teaches the woman how to do the man and the man how to do the woman. They get their information from movies, which doesn't, you know, has a different, they have a different outcome that they want to provide. So do you agree with that, or that's
blarky? I know, I agree. And one of the things that we do in the coaching program is that all of us have different personalities. And when you first get into know someone, they just see Myrna. They see Myrna. They don't see Myrna, the wife, you know, the entrepreneur, the nurturer. So when you first meet that person, he may see what you project. So in the class that I have, we have different personalities. So when Myrna, the entrepreneur, comes out, that's a powerful woman. And sometimes men can't be around all that power. You know, they get insulted. They're like, oh, she's a you-know-what. So
yeah.
what we do is we start having couples look at different personalities. So when that personality is in the room, he knows to shift. So if a powerful woman is coming in his presence, he gets to be submissive. Or if she's being, she needs to be held, he needs to be maybe just
the
a friend,
one.
Just hold her.
Right.
Yeah. So that's what we do for in terms of communication. Who is in the room right now?
Love it, love it, love it. That is very powerful. And, you know, you're right. There's got so many subtextual implications in that little one that we don't have time to get into it. But I'm remembering listening to Steve Harvey. He wrote a book about how women, powerful women, can never find a man because, you know, the man doesn't win every is one thing. And then I remember going to a book reading a couple of years ago when a woman wrote something about South Beach sex or something, and her, she was on stage and she was talking about ice cream and cake. Sometimes you need to be ice cream, sometimes you need to be cake. And that was basically what she was trying to say. Well, what she was trying to say is that you got to flip. Sometimes you're ice cream and sometimes you're cake. Sometimes you're on top, sometimes you're in the bottom. And you got to understand which energy is coming at you, so to flip. Mm-hmm. And then if you're saying that you're always going to be cake, then it's not going to work, because sometimes you need to flip and be ice cream. So what you're saying is exactly that, and that is that that's powerful, because when you come out as a powerful woman, a woman that's coming off with the masculine energy, a masculine man is going to run away because he doesn't want to come on this female energy unless you do it correctly. And that is go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the point of just identifying it. You know, one of the things about being a coach is allowing the couples to identify, like, wow, I didn't know, you know, when I behave this way, to tap, to tap. She's like, yeah. So instead of her calling him you know what, give it a name. So when he behaves this way, call him Mr. Brown, right? And he can say, well, Mr. Brown coming in the room. And she can be like, okay, I know who I get to be. Instead of having fighting back and forth, so we get to play around with these different behaviors.
Well, the beautiful part about it is it makes it very interesting as well. All right, we're having a great little time here, but we're going to be running out of time. So let's take our final station break, and we'll be right back to talk about men for a change. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Have dinner with me. Okay, fine. I will have dinner with you because I'm hungry.
Welcome back to the Mindset Transformation Radio Show. I'm your host, Coach Myrna Young, and today we are speaking to intimacy and orgasmic coach, Miss Margot Blake. In our second segment, we talked about intimacy. We talked about the movie, The 50 Shades of Grey, and what is, you know, why Anastasia responded so well to Christian Grey. And, of course, the women that watch that movie or read those books, why we as well became awakened and inspired by that story, including me. And we also talked about what constitutes intimacy, you know, intimacy in the bedroom. And we were talking about the differences in men and women as far as playtime. So as we wrap our show up, I want to, you know, give something to the men that are listening. So, Margo, for the men who are listening, what advice would you give them in honoring their women and their women's sexuality? Do you have any advice for them?
Oh, that would be another show. I mean, honestly, I can say something, but it would be like not giving the whole truth. If he truly wanted to be intimate with his partner and he wanted to be in servitude, get coaching. But to give him a quick fix, to give you a Band-Aid, I would say give her a hot bath, massage, rub her feet.
Wow.
That's what I would say. Intimacy starts there. Give her a hot bath. You know, give her a massage. Rub her feet. And then when you do that, she's going to spill her beans. She's going to say, "Ah, babe, did you know, ta-ta-ta-ta, ta-ta-ta-ta." So that would be a quick fix. But if you want the long fix, definitely seek coaching.
Yeah. Well, my husband's never given me a bath, but I know I appreciate the massage and running my feet. So he just needs to add that third element.
Well, you know, the feet.
But you're right, and I know how good that feels, especially when it's aromatherapy oil. My goodness, that takes you to a new place, right? Okay.
That is true.
All right. I get it, the smells, the candles, and all that stuff. Beautiful. All right. So now I've asked the questions. Anything that you want to leave with the audience regarding orgasm, intimacy, what is your advice, you know, as we wrap up?
I would say I really don't have an advice. I have a purpose, and I think every person on the planet should have a purpose, their reason of existing. What I would say for women out there, that we are perfect, whole, and complete. And when you do get your power, right, when women wake up and realize how powerful we are, there's going to be a shift in consciousness. Our men, right, our men will treat us and be how they should be. Our boys, right? Our boys would be more loving, more giving. But it all starts with us getting our power, knowing that when you look in the mirror every morning, what do you see? What do you see when you look in the mirror? And that's who you are. You say that. I am powerful. I am beautiful. I am sexy. I am whatever, whatever. Let that be your mantra. So that's the you know, that's the principle that I live by. I look in the mirror every day. What do I see? What do I see? I see powerful women. I see a shift in consciousness. I see women, you know, being the president. I see women just, as Beyonce said, who run the world? Girls.
That is awesome, and that is so true. And you said something in our pre-interview talk about if women were to close their legs, then, you know, there'd be no world because we are innovators of life. And, yes, and once you recognize that, right, once you recognize that you're a goddess, once you recognize that it all starts with you, and some men do, because one of the most beautiful sayings, I heard it first from Seal, you know, he ended up, you know, doing bad things and his wife divorced him. But he said, a happy wife, a happy life. And it's very true, you know. Yeah, and that's why, you know, in all marriages, the woman is usually the person that's in power because she is powerful. And you're right, do not give away your power. Now, we have just a couple minutes left, and we didn't touch on the Me Too. But you also said something that in our pre-interview that's very predominant is that, you know, a lot of times women give away their power because they don't feel confident enough. And if we were all to say, hey, you know what, you know, I have power and I don't have to succumb to do stuff to you to get where I want, then it will be, you know, a different movement. So touching that briefly.
Change is coming. reason why women are, the reason why we, I mean, if women got really got their power, we don't need Viagra, right? We don't need Viagra,
right.
And we can have children. And, you know, like I said before, if we all cross our legs, we can end the world.
Yeah, they'll have to make them in the test tube and clone them. All right. So tell our audience, this has been a fantastic interview. I know it would be, you know, we talk, we know how to communicate with each other. And so thank you so much for this great conversation. I'm pretty sure that our listeners, you know, learned a lot from this conversation. And if they want to know more, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, that's very easy, Myrna. They can. I'm in the process of getting my new website put together. But for today, you can reach me at centralhealingplace@gmail.com.
Central,
because we're
okay.
Healing Place.
Okay.
@gmail.com.
All right. So that is your email, right? Okay.
And we'll take it from there.
Okay.
I have different workshops that I'll be having for this month. But, yes, but just email me.
All right. So that's centralhealingplace@gmail.com. All right.
Central
awesome.
Healing Place. Mm-hmm.
Right. Sexual Healing Place. All right. Well, listen.
You said sexual.
It's sensual, right?
But you said sexual, but that's okay.
Oh.
I'll take that too.
Or when I spelled it right.
Sensual, yes, you did.
healingplace@gmail.com, right? I know. We're talking about, sex here. So it's an easy slip of the tongue. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in to the Mindset Transformation Radio Show and podcast. I am your host, Coach Myrna Young. My goal for 2018 is to empower you to live your best life, whether it is, taking your relationships to another level, taking your financial business to another level, taking your career and your vocation to another level. So be sure to do one or two things. I would love for you to subscribe to my iTunes podcast, so that you can listen to my teachings or the guests that I bring on every week. You can listen before you go to bed. My daughter now listens to podcasts before she goes to bed at night. You can listen when you walk or exercise. You can listen in a car. Anytime that you can get inspiration. And my podcast is Transform Your Mind with Coach Myrna, and that's available on iTunes. If you want any more information on any of the topics or to contact me for coaching, you can reach out to me on my website, which is MyrnaYoungHelps.com. Until next time, before I say that, so Margaret, you have any final words?
I am so excited because I know that you're going to touch all these young, beautiful people, and they're going to be sexually confident because of your vision, and I support you 100%.
Thank you, Margot. Appreciate it. So until next time, namaste.